Yeah, we thank you, God, that we can open your word and hear your voice. And just especially today, God, pray that each one of us can have pliable hearts ready to learn and ready to grow. Thanks that we can pray to you in your holy name because of your sacrifice, Jesus. Amen. But we're going to complete the book of Jude today. And again, it's been one of my favorite little books lately. Each one, I know I keep saying that. It's my favorite book. It's my favorite book when I'm teaching and preaching. It's one of those things when you get into God's Word and He keeps showing you a little bit more than the last time you went through that book. And it's alive. And Holy Spirit can continue to train and guide us. Well worth the time spent every time we open God's Word. We are going to be in verses 17 through 25, 17 to the end of the chapter. The title is, Keep Yourselves in God's Love. He is able to keep you. And the book kind of starts out with that we're kept. If you go back to verse 1 of Jude, only one chapter in Jude. So we're on page 1867 in the Pew Bibles. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. So you've been called, loved, and kept. And we talked about that the first week. How we're kept for, we're kept in, we're kept by Jesus Christ. And then we get to this section, and he's going to tell us to keep yourselves. And that brings up that partnership teaming that we do. Now, we can't, in our own strength, save ourselves. And we can't, in our own strength, keep ourselves saved. And yet there is a part where we play, where God has called us to be holy. He's called us to be perfect. He's saying, you need to do all these things that are impossible for you to do, and I will enable you. And so I love that he's saying, keep yourselves in God's love. He is able to keep you. And that, again, we started out that we're kept by Jesus, and we finished the book that verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So he's the one that keeps us, but he's asking us to keep ourselves as well. So that's something to talk about, that partnership here. Verse 17, the last week we talked a lot about these terrible people that had kind of crept into the church and hidden themselves in the church. And they're false teachers, and they're doing everything they can to drag the people around them down with them. And verse 17, it does a contrast from now. We're not talking about these bad people that are doing bad things. All of a sudden, we're shifting to the ones that were called, loved, and kept that were the letters introduced to. But, dear friends, beloved, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. So these apostles, who are the apostles? Well, it would be the ones that Christ called. He chose the 12. Obviously, Judas betrayed him. They were kind of down to 11. I'm not 100% clear about whether it has to stay 12 or not. I think there's others. Apostle just means messenger. So in a different sense, you can have messengers, thousands, hundreds of thousands of them. But there's the basic apostles that Christ called and chose. And then Apostle Paul ends up being called in an untimely fashion, where it's after Christ has gone to the cross, has been buried, and has been resurrected, and then meets him on that road to Emmaus. And Paul meets Jesus, and he's called to the Gentiles, and he calls himself an apostle. And so when it talks about remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold, the readers of this would know that he's talking about Peter and John and Paul and any of the others. And there had been teaching on a regular basis. The apostles had given oral training Much of it got written down, and so we have that now. So when we see, remember what the apostles foretold, that should tell all of us in our minds, New Testament. It's either going to be, every book in the New Testament is written either by one of the apostles or someone that was very close to the apostles. So we have God's very word inspired by Holy Spirit. And we can remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ told us if we're in the word and we know what they told us. If we don't get into the word, it's kind of hard to remember what's not in our minds to start with. Now, Holy Spirit also promises that he'll remind us of everything that he's taught us. So as we go through Scripture, we've got a partner in this. It's not just us on our own having to have this perfect memory and getting tested, and it's not just for gathering information. But a lot of it, it's profitable for all kinds of things, and one of the things is a warning. And here, he's telling us the apostles, they foretold this. They warned you that there were going to be false teachers. Now, Peter, if you go back to 2 Peter, it's a whole lot about these false teachers warning that they're coming. Paul the Apostle, both in the book of Acts and some of his sermons and in a number of his letters, he warns. And then John, in his three letters and in the book of Revelation, there's warnings about this. Now, I don't know how many of these books at the time that Jude wrote this were compiled, but I think most of them had been written by then. So Jude is a little bit later writer. Remember what they foretold? They said to you in the last times. Now, that's kind of a key thing, in the last times. Are we in the end times? I think we are. We have been since the time of Jesus. When he went to the cross and paid all of our sins and covered everything, we're now in the last times. Now, whether Christ returns during our lifetime or not, every one of us is in our last generation. We don't get out of this alive from this earth unless he comes down and takes us out alive. So we are in the last times in one sense or another. And it says that there will be scoffers. There's going to be people that mock Christ. They're going to mock Christianity. They're going to mock God's word. Do we know people like that? It's not unusual to hear people downplaying what God's word says and rewriting it for their own advantage, or just totally ignoring it, mocking it that way. Well, these scoffers, they follow their own ungodly desires. The difficulty is Peter and John and Paul and now Jude, they tell us that those mockers, those scoffers, are actually in the church. Some of them are in leadership in churches, in local bodies. Some of them are violating God's word by taking sections and saying, well, that doesn't really apply anymore. That doesn't really matter. Verse 19, these are the people, kind of like we were going the last week, those people, these people. He kept going on and on about these people, and it wasn't a positive identifier. These are the people who divide you. People sneak into the body. They claim to have dreams and visions, and they've heard directly from God, and so they've got better truth than what God's word says, and they divide. They who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. That's kind of the interesting thing, is a lot of the people that come into the church and are the most vocal, the loudest, the most seemingly sincere on the outside, are pushing hard about, you know, yay God, and they're all in, you know, kind of in everybody's face about Jesus and claiming to have the Spirit and this special word from the Spirit and this and that. And oftentimes those are the dividers that don't really have the Spirit. Because if they're not following God's word, they're not following the Spirit. God's Spirit doesn't go against his word. So he's, again, kind of gone off on a little tangent there about these people that he thought he'd gotten away from when he was saying about you guys now, remember. Verse 20, but you, dear friends, you, beloved, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. How do you keep yourself in God's love? Well, he's given us a couple of things here. By building yourself up in your most holy faith. Building yourself up in the faith. God saves us. He's the one that gives us faith. It's by his grace that we're saved. There's nothing that we can do. And we can't even like stir that faith up in ourselves without God's calling, without his drawing us to him. And yet, we're asked to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. You don't build yourself up in other areas that are away from the faith. And the faith is that foundation of who we are to become. And when you lay a foundation, the best way to make sure your building's going to stand is to put the building on the foundation. And if we try to use Christ as the foundation, we build ourselves up in the flesh. That's not on the foundation. It's not going to stand. It's not going to stay. And, you know, Jesus talked about that when he gave the parable of the wise man builds his house on a rock and the foolish man builds his house on the sand. We need to be on that foundation of the faith. And praying in the Holy Spirit. And if we're praying, in the Holy Spirit. This isn't a special kind of prayer, it's any prayer. Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's the one that called us, he enables us, he empowers us, and we pray in the Spirit. I was able to be over at Harry and Dana's this week, and the Lord showed me a passage to read with them and pray with them. We're praying in Scripture, we're praying in the Spirit. It's almost the same thing. If we're not in the Scripture, we're probably not praying in the Spirit. We can try to work things up and it can give us a nice happy feeling, but it's not in the Spirit. So by praying and then by building yourself up in the faith, that's what's going to keep yourself in God's love. You ever noticed how when you dig into God's Word and you spend time with God and you recognize who He is and who we are and how much we need Him, your faith grows? Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. We know that's coming. It's like we're waiting for something that's certain. We're waiting for something that we have a definite hope in. And then this next section here is just... I really think Jude had the same heart as his brother, a pastor's heart. Jude and James were definitely longing to see God's people be God's people and grow in the faith, be built up in the faith. But he knows that there's some that fall away. Be merciful to those who doubt. Because probably sometime that's going to be us. And God's mercy needs to go both ways. If we can't be merciful to one another. I think one pastor I listened to this week talked about how if we decide that sinners aren't allowed in our churches, first thing we need to do is remove all the staff members. And then everybody else is gone. There wouldn't be a church. We need to be merciful to those who are in doubt. It's going to come a time in your life where you're going through things and it's like, Lord, are you really there? And then especially when you get these false teachers coming in and try to stir things up and they're trying to bring you a new truth and they're, you know, we start getting doubts about God's word. And what do? Here we be merciful to them. Well, one way to be merciful is to keep preaching the word and loving the people. Just bring it back to what's basic. The next verse, save others by snatching them from the fire. There's some people that don't even realize they're having problems. And in America, and probably in this century, this is not a popular message where we go and get in people's business and snatch them from the fire. I think we're sometimes willing to get into people's business for the wrong reasons, but do we have a heart for, I'm gonna meddle in your life a little bit because I want to bring you into the kingdom. I want you to be part of this family. Snatch others. save others by snatching them from the fire. And then to others, so there's this third group, show mercy mixed with fear. Some people struggle with some of the same things that we struggle with. And when we go and try to work with them and help them and bring them back to the kingdom, there's a danger that we're going to soil ourselves as well. There's a danger that we're going to fall into those patterns that we thought we'd mastered and overcome. So we approach evangelism, we approach correction and instruction with a little bit of fear. And what's that fear of? It's hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. We could get stained and soiled. Here we're talking about dirty underwear in the most basic terms here. These false teachers were stained. They were broken. They weren't where they needed to be. And even those people were saying, you know, love them. Show mercy to them, but show mercy with fear, because you could fall into the trap. The devil has schemes. He's trying to grab all of us and pull us down. And this is a little book here by Jude that says we're supposed to lift each other up. We're supposed to love each other and bring each other up and build yourselves up. And one of these things that we need to be careful of is when we go and try to help others, we don't get dragged down. How many of us, when we hang out with a lot of pessimistic people, fall into that trap? You're hanging out with grumblers and complainers. You can come up with a grumbly message too. You can come up with a grumbly word. It can remind you of a story in your life that, oh yeah, well, did you? There was this time that this happened to me. And we can get into that pattern. Approach this with mercy and fear. Because I don't want to go into their house and say, yeah, I'm going to help you. And then I end up being what I thought I'd gotten away from. And they drag me down instead of me pulling them up. So I think Jude's got everybody covered here. We really want to preach God's word to everyone. We want to show mercy to everyone. We want to snatch them out of the fire. We want to keep them from having to fall. But we do that with a little bit of fear, because we could fall too, right? But then this beautiful doxology that completes the book. Why don't we have to have as much fear? Well, we can do these things. We can demonstrate mercy with fear, knowing that we can't control all of our own emotions to solve not only our own problems, but other people's problems. To him who is able to keep you. To him who is able to keep you from falling, from stumbling. And to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. You know, if I were to take Kathy and present her to the final judge, I cannot present her without fault. And she can't present me without fault. We know each other's faults. Somehow Jesus covers all of our faults, and he's able to present us to the Father and say, dude's clean. He's covered. Those sins that might have been there, they're gone. They're not just covered, they're disappeared. They're vanished. They're buried in the deepest sea. They're separated. He can present us holy and righteous. He can present us without fault and blameless. And he can only do that because he covered all of our sins. He took them upon himself. So yeah, I can show mercy to somebody that's really a terrible sinner. And I need to do that with a little fear, because I could be a terrible sinner too. But I know the one that's going to be able to present me faultless, blameless. I know the one that's going to be able to say, here's my child. Here's my brother. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. You know, it's the glory of God that can bring us out of our doldrums. It's the glory of God that can bring us into his presence. And he's got the authority to say, final judgment, you're in. You're covered. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're one of mine. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, that's where that authority comes. He's got authority over us because our sins have been covered by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it says, before all ages. That's that Christ that's eternal. The one that was before time. The one that was there when the foundations of the earth were laid. Before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.